Welcome to One Interview, One World. This is Lainey Kay, and this is a show about interviewing people from all walks of life because everyone has a story to share and we can all learn from each other. I hope you enjoy listening.
Which people don't realize when they're doing this, when I'm working with a buyer, is the difference in $10,000 on like a 30-year loan might be the difference of like $40, $50 a month. Mm-hmm. So then I come back and I say to them, do you really want to lose this house over, you know, $40 or $50 a month? Or are we still comfortable with these monthly payments? Let's think about our monthly payments, not what we're paying for the house. Mm-hmm. Concentrate on your monthly payments, because if you're comfortable with monthly payments, what you paid for the house, that's going to not necessarily matter a year, 2 years, 3, 4, 5 years from now, right?
Today I'm with Justin Smith, who is a real estate agent with Remax Consultants in La Quinta, California. Justin works with buyers and sellers in the Coachella Valley. Justin, tell me a little bit about you and how you became a real estate agent.
Sure. So, born and raised in Boulder, Colorado, and actually went to college out at University of Pacific in Stockton, California, moved back to Colorado, jumped around to a couple jobs, ended up at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, was with them for 10 years, moved my way up the chain to a fleet logistics supervisor. I ran about 80 employees in the Northwest Territory of Colorado and then parts of Cheyenne and Laramie, Wyoming. And after about 10 years, I just said, what am I doing? Lord, what am I doing, right? Like, I was doing the same old thing. I just really wasn't enjoying what I was doing. It's not that I wasn't enjoying what I was doing, but it was the same thing, right, every day. And so I finally took that leap of faith. I left the job after 10 years, asked if they would transfer me, but they said I'd have to start from the bottom. So I said no. So left the job, sold my house, sold my car, and basically moved out here to the desert in California. Only knowing my parents. My parents had a second home out here. I thought I'd get closer to the beach, learn how to surf. So at least I'm closer than I was when I was in Colorado, right? My wife always makes fun of me when I tell that story. And so anyway, got out here and ended up in real estate school out here. I enjoyed the process of selling my home in Colorado. And so I ended up in real estate school out here. My last week of class was my wife's first week of class. And next thing you know, we're exchanging numbers. Come to find out, my mom knew her older sister and was a client of hers. Just a total God thing, right? And 6 months later, we're engaged. 9 months later, we're married. I now have two beautiful little girls. And what I would call a very successful career here out in the desert and with real estate. And so that's kind of my little story as far as how I got in the business. And I've been in it now for about 7 years.
Yeah, and you love it, correct?
I do love it. I really do. Every day it's a different situation. I just really love it. I love meeting the people. I love the negotiating. I love thinking outside the box to make both parties happy, right? Because, I mean, ultimately that should be a realtor's job, is to facilitate a deal that works best for both parties. Mm-hmm. And to take, you know, and I really have enjoyed it, yeah.
That's wonderful. I love that you met your wife. I love that story. I'm sure you're happy about that too. So
absolutely.
When you want to become a real estate agent, what do you have to do?
Yeah, so here in the state of California, you do have to basically take some credits, take some hours. It's kind of like a real estate school. There's tests that you need to pass in the real estate school, or you can do courses online. And then you sign up for the state exam. Most people do not pass that on the first time. And Lord knows, I was completely worried about not passing that the first time because I was not the best in school.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I both passed it. We kind of did some crash courses before and just really took our time with it, didn't rush through it. They try and trick you on some of those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the long and the short. There's some courses. It did take you know, almost 3 to 4 months until I was even able to sign up to take the test. And then once you take the test, it was almost like another 2 months. So, you know, be prepared for a 6-month process to even get your license.
Mm-hmm. Not counting the studying for it, or counting that as well?
Counting that as well. I would say, you know, give yourself about 6 months. Now, some people can do it online, do it faster. Sometimes, just depending on the spots open for the test, if you pass it the first time, and it's kind of, you know, it's been 7 years since I did it, right? So it might be a little different. But I know when my wife signed up for the test, she signed, and then you got to get fingerprints. They do background checks on you to be able to become a real estate agent as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to sign up some way where she was able to get the results and get her license at the same time. Well, I had done it. I had passed the test, and my license didn't come for another month after I passed the test. And I think that's because of maybe how I registered. Then I found out, too, though, that they had basically lost my information or didn't receive it. So, anyway, all in his time. So,
And then once you are an agent, what are the avenues for working?
Sure. So, great question. Fred Wilson with Capitus Real Estate, who I definitely owe my career to, and was my coach and my mentor, right? And Sari and I went and we basically interviewed with a lot of the firms, right? All your Keller Williams, Benyon DeVilles, HK Lane, HomeSmart, right? To basically get an idea of, okay, just like you're asking, what do you do? What are your revenues, right? And once you have your license, you're technically an independent contractor, and you can hang your license with any one of these, with any brokerage. You have a lot of smaller brokerages, like Capitus, right? That maybe only have like 40 or 60 employees. So as long as you hang your license with a licensed broker, so there's a difference between a real estate license and then a broker's license.
Okay.
And I don't have my broker's license because I just don't want to deal with all the paperwork and the headache, and I enjoy where I'm at and spending more time with the girls versus getting involved in a lot of the paperwork and all of that stuff. So I basically hang my license with somebody that has their broker's license, then I work under them.
Okay.
And so you want to just find out who's the best fit for you, right? When I was starting, we found that Capitus was the best fit because of the training that they offered. And the training that they offered was a lot different than some of these other places. It's amazing. I was in school, and the teacher straight up told everyone in the class, he's like, the average real estate agent usually does not make it past a year and 6 months. You will drop out after that time. And then you go to some of these other places, and you interview with them, and they're like, do you have enough savings set up for at least a year? Because it's going to take a year for you to get your name out there and set your name brand and farm some of these areas. And that stuff works. You know, I would assume it works, right? Especially if you're willing to put time and effort and some money into doing that. Sari and I just felt that Fred's way was a little different as far as he was like, why can't you go out and make money today? Why do you want to wait for the business to come to you? Go find the business, right? And so for me and Sari, we took on that mentality, that mindset, and it was all about talking to people, vending what we call, or promoting what we call opportunity properties, properties that were great investments. Out here we do a lot of vacation rentals, great views, great prices, and we would just talk with people about these properties. And you would get some people that would lean in and say, really, tell me more. You would get some people that would just say, no, it's not right for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm having great, what we would call a real estate conversation with somebody and getting to the truth with them as far as, do they want to do something or not, right? Do you have somebody sending you some good deals currently right now? Yeah, my daughter, you know, my sister's a realtor actually, and I'm pretty loyal to her. That's fantastic, right? So then I wouldn't necessarily, you know, push that deal anymore, right? I might say, hey, I've got a great listing that maybe your sister might want to know about that I think would be a great investment property. And so just something like that, right? So for me, I don't spend a lot of money on advertising. I don't farm. I don't send postcards. And our first year in the business, I moved out here not knowing anybody. I didn't do my first deal until about 4 or 5 months in. But then after that, I had 32 transactions my first year in the business. The average real estate agent, from what I hear, and again, I don't keep up with statistics and stuff, but they maybe do 6 to 7 deals a year.
Okay.
So just to give you an idea of some of the numbers and things that I guess what I was told 7 years ago when I got into the business, that's what I was hearing. And, you know, right now I couldn't give you up-to-date stats as far as that goes because I'm just enjoying what I'm doing. I'm spending time with girls. I'm not too much into the stats and things like that. For me, it's more about I want to meet people. I want to help them out with their needs. I want to find out what their needs are and then go from there. And then I want to take care of you so that you feel comfortable referring friends and family to me because I know how well I take care of you is going to be a direct relation to how many people you send me or refer me. And that's how Sarah and I really got our business. And then open houses. I really love open houses. Some people don't like to do open houses, but Siri and I do enjoy the open houses. Again, you get to meet interesting people. Typically, people that come into an open house, they might not buy that house. In fact, 9 out of 10 of them will not buy that house that you're holding open.
Wow.
But they're probably going to buy something someday. Mm-hmm. You get a couple that are maybe looky-loos or what we call a looky-loo or a neighbor or want to get design ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, almost about, man, it's hard to get it to tell, but maybe 40 to 60% of our business comes from open houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then
good
the rest
would
be referrals.
Yeah, good way to meet people.
Yes, absolutely.
What other ways would you go out and meet people? Or is it just like part of your daily routine that anybody you're encountering, you're kind of trying to do that?
That's exactly it. I think so. What I do is I go about my day, and I'm very aware of my surroundings too, right? So if I'm in the shoe store and I'm trying on shoes or whatever, for example, and I see somebody there, I might just strike up a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
And talk with them about their shoes or, you know, whatever. So, and it's all, I try and make it all natural, right? I don't just jump in and say, hey, what if I told you about a great property?
Right.
I really want to kind of find out about them. Do they live in the area? Are they visiting? Make it more of a conversation. I always like to try and have conversations with people and not tell them what I do or let them know what I do, right? If they ask, I'm going to tell them. But otherwise, it's always amazing to me how much, you know, I'll ask people what they do and everything, but rarely do they ask me in return. You know, people love to talk about themselves, so mm-hmm. I get them talking about themselves. And I take interest in them. I take interest in that. I have met so many interesting people, so many, you know, interesting stories. And that's, I think, why I love this job, too, is because every day is different. You never know who you're going to meet or what you're going to do. Every deal seems to be different. Sometimes you have some that go really smooth and easy, and sometimes you have some that have some bumps in the road. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy overcoming those bumps in the road, right? And there's nothing better to me when somebody says, you know, thank you so much. I really appreciate the way you handled that. Whether it's another agent telling me or whether it's my buyer or seller telling me, that is like the most gratifying thing to me. Yeah.
I love that. What would you say are your typical work hours or a typical work week? Hard to answer, probably.
Well, and mine's a little different, right, because I think that I enjoy so much what I do. So, like I said, if I go to the store, if I go to Costco, if I go to the grocery store, I try and have at least what I call 4 interactions. And an interaction is different than a conversation. A conversation is, hey, how are you? How's the weather today? Great, thanks, bye. Whereas an interaction, I'm having these conversations with people, finding out a little bit more about them, right? So if I have 4 interactions, 5 days a week, I will do probably 2 to 3 deals a month.
Okay.
If I have meaningful conversations with people. So that could be throughout the day. Now, of course, when you get busier and you've got some deals in escrow, then I'm spending a lot more time not only on the deals and managing those deals, but then also continuing to find new business. I think that's the other thing where a lot of agents, you know, they get caught up in the deals. Maybe they have an escrow and they do what you would call babysit those deals when they should be going out finding other deals and keeping that string of contacts and people going. Because then once that deal closes, you're back to square one. Whereas mm-hmm. if they were to keep talking with people and keep in the process, it's just going to be a steady flow. But I would say that I have really what I would call honed my process, right? So where I used to go out and have maybe I would need 15 contacts to get my 5 interactions, now I only need to have maybe 7 or 8 contacts to get my 5 interactions. Mm-hmm. When I first started, I went door knocking, right? Like I was out there. I was beating bushes. I was door knocking. I was working on my verbiage and really how to talk to people, because it's just amazing, I think, what a difference that makes. And I'm seeing the payoff now of all that hard work that I put in for those first 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And I think that's so important. And that's probably why most people drop out within the first year, year and a half, is because they really feel that real estate is just easy, right? People are going to come to you. They're going to buy a house. It's a big check. Well, and even the general public, I think, feels that way, right? So maybe they jump in but in reality, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort. You're working for free unless that deal closes escrow, right? So your time management is so important. And then, you know, if you're like me, you work under a broker, well, you have a split there. Mm-hmm. And then lovely California, I got to put away 35% of every check towards taxes.
Yeah.
So really, by the time everything's said and done, you might only see 50% of that check, right? Which then goes to your bills, your mortgage, all this other stuff. So you got to be very diligent, not only about putting that 35% away, because that's what else I hear a lot of realtors is, they get the checks and they spend the money. Mm-hmm. They don't put aside the stuff for taxes. Remember, you're an independent contractor. You need to make sure that you are putting that money aside, because Uncle Sam wants his money, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's very important, and you got to realize you're working for free. And so you've really got to get your time management down and who you work with and how you work.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have to have more of an outgoing personality too, or not be afraid to talk to people.
And I it's worked very well for me, right? Mm-hmm. I know a couple agents that are more a little bit laid back, maybe shy, not as outgoing as I am, you know, and they do well. They do well. I think people gravitate towards people that are like them, right? But some of these folks that work with me, or I have a couple of guys that work under me type deal, they're still doing open houses and stuff. So they're meeting these people, and maybe these people are more laid back, and it's like, hey, I'd much rather work with them. Justin, you're a little bit too much for me, right? You talk too fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's okay with me, right? Because, you know, two of the things Sari and I do is we really want to work with people that work with us. I don't try and convince anybody to work with us. I don't want to. It's got to be natural, right? Mm-hmm. And if you want to work with us, great. And if you don't, there's over 4,000 agents out here in the desert. By all means, you know, just find someone you enjoy working with is what I tell people. And that hopefully knows what's going on, right? A lot of the agents out here in the desert are part-time. They're not full-time, because we have of our age demographic and things like that. We have a lot of retirees. And so they just do it to help their friends, sometimes referrals, old clients, things like that. Whereas my wife and I, we're in this daily, right? I love talking about properties that aren't on market. I love finding these good investment properties, you know. So, and nowadays, you got to be like that, I think, if you want to be successful in this business, because with Zillow and Redfin and all these, you know, internet websites, people have instant access to new stuff that comes on the market. So how are you going to differentiate yourself as being a good agent? Because now it's like, I talk to a lot of people and they're just like, no, we're just searching on our own. No, we're just looking at Zillow. No, we haven't found the right house yet. And then they might walk into an open house or house they like, and they might use the listing agent, right? Or they would just call their friend out of the blue. Hey, I saw this house. I'd really like to make an offer on it. We trust you. Will you help me out with that? So it's very interesting how today's market is going. And I think where it's going, you know, people talk about robots are going to take over realtors. It is too much of a personal, emotional business for me to think that a robot is going to take over my position, right? Like a robot standing at the door at an open house, you know, welcome in. You know, this house is 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, 2,000 square feet. How can I help? You know, like, just so impersonal.
Yeah, that does seem odd.
It's very interesting. And, you know, people have tried all these different mousetraps. I don't know if you remember Purple Bricks, right? But Purple Bricks was very hot, a very, you know, big thing. And if I'm not correct, and again, you know, Purple Bricks, I think, worked for some people, but then other people, it just wasn't there, right? And you would pay one flat fee to Purple Bricks to list your house. They kept that money whether they sold it or not. And then other people would come and try and bring the buyers, and supposedly they facilitate the deal. But I don't know if you know, but they're, you know, I don't see any Purple Bricks agents anymore out here in the desert. So people are going to come and go. I think the agents that, are really putting their time and effort into this, that take this seriously, they're the ones that are going to succeed during the up and down times, right? I mean, granted, my wife and I started about 7 years ago, right as we were coming out of kind of that recession and the housing market crash.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned ways, and I know that even during, if the market crashes again, which I really don't think it's going to do, I'm still going to work my process. People mm-hmm. still need to live places, right? People still need roofs over their head. People are still going to be buying and selling. And so, I feel really good about it. I'm excited about the job, and I just really enjoy it. And I think if you have an outgoing attitude and are fun to work with, and you can't let it take you over emotionally, right? And that was me at the beginning, for sure, is, oh, I really want to help these people out. I want to see them get the house. Oh, this is happening. Oh, this is happening. Oh, I feel so bad. And I took it more personal, right? When it's like, I don't have any control over that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't control that. Justin, you cannot control every aspect of this deal, right? So, it's definitely been a learning process. The first 2 or 3 years were a learning process. And now, it's just very smooth for me. It's part of my daily routine as far as talking to these people and still enjoying time with my family, which is just a godsend.
It's a type of job that's kind of flexible, but are you typically working a lot on the weekends or I guess to kind of give someone an idea, like what is like your typical working hours?
Okay, great question. So my schedule, and again, I'm more of a seasoned vet, right? But my schedule, probably my day doesn't start till 9 o'clock, and I'm probably done by 5 o'clock Monday through Friday.
Okay.
I enjoy doing Saturdays open houses, and typically I'll be in an open house 3 to 4 hours on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I typically do not work Sunday, and so Sundays and Mondays actually are kind of like would be my weekends.
Okay.
So sometimes, but again, you're right. Like me, if you're looking to work and you're really going to be what I would call, and Fred would always say, in the hunt, right? Looking for business, finding business. Not sitting behind your computer creating your web page, right? Or making a fancy business card, right? Like, go find business. Don't waste your time doing that, you know? People work with people that they trust and find them interesting, right? They're not going to work with you because your card looks better than someone else's card or your website looks better than someone else's. And you got to get them to your website. That's what I always love. It's like you work all this time on these websites, but unless you direct someone to your website, how are they going to find your website? So why are we spending so much time on that, you know? So it's always so funny to me. I love it. And there's nothing wrong with a good website, right? We want to, you know, make sure that you're a professional and everything looks good. And, but to give you an idea, I've been in the business for 7 years. I just literally made a website maybe 6 months ago.
Okay.
Right? And I'm ashamed to say it, but I've just been in the business and been so busy, and I'm more worried about who, you know, where is the next transaction going to happen? Where is the next deal? I want to tell people about this great property I saw. And so I didn't worry about any of that, right? But now our business is growing. I have a little bit of a team. So it was kind of like, all right, Justin. And I think social media is taking over, right? So, but more I'm focusing my time on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and doing these blogs, right? And just getting your name out there and seen in front of more people, sphere of influences, friends and family, you know, sold another one in escrow, da-da-da, congratulations to our clients. And I always make it about my client, right? I try and never talk about us. It's not, hey, we sold another one or we did this. It's congratulations to our client. So happy that they, you know, these first time home buyers found their first home in this beautiful area. So Sarah and I just really try and take the me out of it, and mm-hmm. we want to make it more about our clients.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then when you're working with people, you're working with your emails. Generally, is it just the people that are looking for properties are the ones you're sending your emails out to, or do you ever send out emails to like every original client that you've ever had?
Yeah. Okay. So great question. And that's one thing that I need to get better at, right? Is all of my past clients, all the people that I've sold houses to and bought houses from, we do try and put them on a monthly email that goes out that basically just is kind of like fun facts, right? Top five ways to update your kitchen, you know, tips for first-time home buyers, just something that's relevant, that's house-related, but also that just kind of puts me at the top of their mind, hopefully, or, you know, oh, it's good to hear from Justin and them again, right? So we definitely try, and everybody that we bought or sold or done anything with, we put them into an emailer and try and stay in touch with them that way. So, yeah, that's something I need to definitely get better at that I feel terrible that I don't do a lot of. I think that's hugely important. And I think that's a little bit too, though, now with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, people are more on that type of thing versus checking their email, right? Sometimes you send out these monthly emails like this, and it's like, okay, it says it's from Justin and Sari, five ways to improve your home. Well, typically it's a delete, right? It's not like they're reading it. It's not something maybe that they're doing, right? Where if it's on Facebook or something, it's quick, it's easy, it's, you know, congratulations to our client, this one just closed, and then to them it's like, oh, look, Justin and Sari, you know, still in the business, closed another one, right? And then it's just they go about their day. So I'm trying to focus my time a little bit more on that. So as far as emails, and that's automatically populated type deal, right, with the service that I have. That basically runs my website, does those blogs, posts stuff on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter on our business pages. So that's kind of an easy way if you were to stay on top of mind or at least feel like you're doing something. But again, I don't know if I'm necessarily getting clients from that. I'm getting clients more from referrals, from open houses, and from just meeting people. And, you know, whether it's at any of the girls' activities, dance, you know, my gyms, things like that, talking with other friends and family. But I'm actually talking to them, right? Where most people, I think, they're at these events, but they don't talk to people. And they're not talking to them, I would say, in the right way if you're trying to gain more business, mm-hmm. right? So the emails and stuff, I guess that's kind of what I do with emails. But more, I don't want to send emails. I want to talk to people. Mm-hmm. Right. And email is not a form of a communication for me. Right. That even if somebody responds, although I have sold a couple houses which were straight emails, I never even talked to the person. And then when they came and saw the house, finally I met them and I talked to them. Never talked to them once on the phone. It was all email back and forth. It was one of the craziest deals I've done. But I was like, well, this is interesting. But I always want to talk to people because just like either texting or emails, things can get misconstrued, right? Or it's like taken a wrong way or differently or thing, right? So when I talk to somebody, I like to hear the fluctuations in their voice. You know, I can tell if I can meet them in person, for sure. That's the best way to do it. With me, when I meet new clients or I meet someone, I like to show them homes. And I'll show them homes basically is what I would call a freebie, right? Like, let's go out, let's look at some homes. And let's see if you enjoy working with me and you want to work with me. And likewise, I'm kind of interviewing them too, right? Are they serious? Are, you know, my time and resources and in most cases my money, right? Because we're all spending gas and doing all this stuff to drive around to do this stuff. you know, are they serious? And do they want to work with me? Because if they don't want to work with me, or I feel they're jumping around or whatnot,
right,
then I might just say, hey, look, this is somebody that I don't know if I should waste my time on. And at that time, it becomes a business decision.
Right.
But then I also like to have the truth talk with people. So that's why I like to give them that, what I would call preview showing. Basically having an interview, and I straight up tell them, right, I want to make sure you're comfortable working with me and that you enjoy working with me, right? So let's go out. No obligations. I'll show you a couple of these homes. And, you know, if you like it and you want me and my wife to be your agents, excellent. We'd love the opportunity. If not, we completely understand, but there is absolutely no obligation, right? Mm-hmm. And so I am very laid back, easygoing. You can tell I talk fast. I drink my own Kool-Aid, but I do. I really love it. And my wife and I also, we own more than a couple properties, right? We own a couple vacation rentals. We own a couple long-term rentals in our personal home. So not only am I in the business, but I'm practicing what I preach. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes people feel more confident and comfortable, too, when working with us.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So I wanted to ask you some things for people that are looking for new homes, like, or just, you know, buying a home, if you have any suggestions, like when they're researching or trying to decide.
Honestly, like I said, nowadays with Zillow and Redfin, people jump up on there and they start looking at homes. But two things I would do first is, some people are going to know what kind of house they can afford. But the problem is, like, you get on Zillow and it says, okay, and here's your monthly payments. Well, what they don't say is, that's your monthly payments. That's not taxes, insurance, right? So that number jumps up like $500, $600 right off the bat. So I'll get people calling me, hey, I'd love to look at this house. You know, I see the payments would be this. And I say, well, have you talked to a lender?
Mm-hmm.
I think first, that's the best thing to do, is talk to a lender, because a lender is going to give you a true idea of what your monthly payments will be. We'll just use round numbers, right? So you buy a home at $300,000. You know, your monthly payment is going to be around $2,000. And they'll give you an idea, how much do you need down? There's a lot of programs that lenders have, too, where you can get no down payment assistance, different FHA-type loans. So, and all of that, too, is going to depend on your credit. So what I love about working with a good lender is, a lender is going to be able to run your credit, give you a good idea, and say you've got a couple credit cards that only have $500 of payments on them. They might say, hey, look, you pay this credit card off, it's going to raise your credit score. If your credit score is raised, you're going to get a better interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, when you go in with that mind and you get everything set up, then it's a lot easier when you come and work with me. I've learned, too, that that's also part of pre-qualifying people, right? Because you don't want to show somebody houses. You get them excited about a house and then come to find out they can't afford it. Right. Or it isn't what they thought, or the payments, or maybe there is something on their credit holding them up from even being able to get a loan. So first and foremost, as a new buyer, I would talk to a lender. I would find out what payments you're comfortable with. I always tell people, I never want to see them go house broke or house poor. I want to make sure they live within their means and that they're comfortable. I typically ask them, what are you paying right now? If they're renting or if they do own a home, what are they paying right now? And then that'll give me an idea, too. Okay, what do we need to be around house-wise? The other thing is when people jump on Zillow and some of this other stuff, out here, especially in the desert, we have a lot of HOAs or lease land. Well, those HOAs are basically an extra payment on top of your mortgage, right? The lease land is an extra payment on top of your mortgage. So say you were approved for $300,000, well, you send me a home that's in an HOA that's for $300, and the HOA is $300, you need to look for homes inside that community closer to $250,000.
Okay.
So there's some things like this that not only having a good lender, but a good agent to explain this stuff is going to save you a lot of time and headache and just get you in the right direction as far as, okay, let's focus on these areas. Here's what we're approved for. I don't want to get too excited about this and then be heartbroken.
Yeah.
Like, let's look at this logically, what makes sense, and then let's go have some fun. Because that's what I always say, is talk to the lender first, and then I get the fun part. You know, I get to go out, I get to show you homes, I get to do the negotiating, I get to hand you the keys. the loan process is the hardest process. Getting in all your paperwork, ever since the crash did happen, you know, that's basically when lenders would loan to anybody. Like, you just, you know, people are joking, you just had to be breathing and you could get a loan. And they were giving loans to people that, you know, probably couldn't make the payments. And not only one loan, but more than one loan. They were letting them buy two houses. So that has gotten a lot stricter as far as what qualifications need to be met in order to even get a loan. So that's what I would recommend. Talk to the lender first, but then also work with an agent. You know, you'll be able to find a good one. And if the agent is asking the right questions, you're going to know, right? And I think that's the other thing for me is I like to ask a lot of questions because I want to find out what are we looking for. I love it when I show husband and wife homes and I'm like, okay, what are your top three? And then I'm like, what are your top three? And they look at each other and their top three aren't the same, right? So then I get them thinking, oh, wow, like, let's think about this. What are we looking for? What is the most important to both of us? Because it's always hard to find a purple unicorn, right? So let's find something that works for both of you, that makes sense. And once you start doing that, it makes the process a lot easier for an agent.
Right.
And, you know, just really finding out where reality is. And I know we all want big walk-in closets and soaker tubs and a huge open kitchen, you know. But on a budget of $300,000, that's going to be hard to find here in California, right?
Yeah.
So just setting up realistic expectations is big. And I mean, people respect that when I talk with them as far as, I got to be honest with you, you know, it's going to be very hard to find that. And when those do come up, there's other people looking for that. So then they turn into multiple offers. There's a lot of cash still out here. So you might be fighting against a cash deal that can close in 10 days. So just a lot of different things that go on and in the business and kind of behind the scenes,
right,
that maybe a first time buyer might not see or know.
Absolutely.
So it's good to kind of find someone that you enjoy working with that you feel confident knows some of these ins and outs, right? That's done enough deals to, been through enough situations, I should say, to know what's going on.
Especially when it comes to making the offer, like knowing what pricing and that kind of stuff. That's what I think having an agent really helps, because they know the market. They know what is probably a good price to offer or what's not going to work.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, everybody wants a deal. Everybody wants a deal. And I get it. I want to get you the best deal I can. Right. But you're right, there is a fine art to that. And, you know, most agents out here, if they're, you know, there a lot of agents are all good agents, and you can get a rough idea of what a good market value is for a house. And if it's listed well, it's always hard to go in when I get buyers and it's like they want to offer 30 grand less. And I'm like, but this house, and I've shown you the comps, is worth this price. Why would you offer this? You're going to insult the seller. The seller might just dig their heels in the ground. And now I'm not even going to be able to get you 10 or 15 grand off of this house. They might just hold their heels in the ground. You really like the house. You might end up paying full price for it. And I've had that happen. They wouldn't listen to the advice that I've given, but they really wanted the house. They wanted to try it this way. And they ended up paying full price for the house. And, you know, I talked to the agent later, and it's like, I just think they were really offended by the offer. And, you know, It is important, I think, to take the advice, but also know that the agent is working for you on your best behalf, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there might be some agents that just say, well, I would give them full price. You know, it's this, this, this. Well, let's talk about it. Why do you feel that way? Why would you give them full price? The other thing I think is so important, which people don't realize when they're doing this, when I'm working with a buyer, is the difference in $10,000 on like a 30-year loan might be the difference of like $40, $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So then I come back and I say to them, do you really want to lose this house over, you know, $40 or $50 a month? Or are we still comfortable with these monthly payments? Let's think about our monthly payments, not what we're paying for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Concentrate on your monthly payments, because if you're comfortable with monthly payments, what you paid for the house, that's going to not necessarily matter a year, 2 years, 3, 4, 5 years from now, right? My crystal ball is still on back order. I don't know where the market's going to be. right? I'm looking at this as, does either the investment make sense? If you're going to be living here full time, this is your primary residence, does the house meet your needs? And are you comfortable with your monthly payments? Otherwise, take the price of the house out. Don't be fighting over $10,000, even $20,000, right? It's not, if the house works for you and meets your needs, don't lose a good house that suits you and your family's needs or makes sense number-wise on the investment side, trying to get the better deal. Because in the long term, who knows, right? We just don't know what's going to happen. And so you got to live in that. You got to live more in the now. You know, we can never predict the future, right?
That's good information. And I also feel like when you're searching for a house, like, it's hard to find a house that you really are ready to pull the trigger on. And so it would be awful to kind of lose it. But I guess that happens.
It does. And sometimes it's unfortunate, but I work with sellers that, you know, they really like the house. They're not ready to pull the trigger. And I call them the next day. And because, you know, once you, and I know, I'm like, this house is going to go fast. You know, this is a good house. It's going to go fast. And actually, I've probably shown it to two other people, right? And I'm just like, you know, and that's what happens is sometimes a client will have to lose out on a couple houses before they realize, man, we better start jumping on something. And now they're compromising versus getting what they want.
Okay.
But a lot of times, I truly feel that a house will sell itself within the first 90 seconds. You walk into a house, you get a good feel for it, you see what can be done to it. Sometimes it's hard for buyers to see the vision of it. Like if you're a seller and you've got stuff all over and you've got heavy furniture and the house looks a mess, people are going to see that and not see your house and the floor plan and what could be done. So whenever I'm working with sellers, that's a huge thing for me is, you know, let's just really try and get this tidied up. Let's fix up some of these little things. So when people walk in, they feel like, wow, you know, this is nice. It's well taken care of. It's maintained. They don't see dollar signs as far as need to paint here, need new carpet here, need this, need that. And they're concentrating more on the floor plan. But that's also what working with a good agent is about. I walk into a rough house like that. It's, hey, what do you think of the floor plan, right? Could you see this place with some fresh paint throughout? You know, does this floor plan work for you and your family? You know, do you like this location? Get them thinking. Don't just walk them through the house and say, look at these beautiful granite countertops. Oh, it has a separate soaker tub. Oh, you know, let's talk about what matters to you, not necessarily, right? So, yeah, absolutely.
And when you're showing buyers, you do something where you have them rate the houses, correct?
I do. I personally do because I love that, and it gives them an idea, too, and that's another fun thing I like to do, right, especially I'm showing, like, a husband and wife, is, and I just do 1 to 5. Sometimes we change it 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best, and it's great. Sometimes the husband will be like, an 8, 3-car garage, this is an 8, you know,
yeah.
And the wife's like, 5, and yeah. Then it's like, okay, why was it a 5 for you, you know, what was it about this, and then I get the husband thinking, oh, okay, I see why. And then she sees why he liked it. And now let's find a happy medium. If I walk into a house and both couples are like 9s, then I'm like, we should just stop the showing right now and we should make an offer on this house.
Right.
Because it's very rare that I get both couples saying, you know, 9 or 10s on homes, right? Typically, it's going to be somewhere in the 6 or 7. But that's because they're still looking for their purple unicorn. And once we've seen enough, then it's like, you know what? That 6 or 7 actually was an 8 or 9, now that we think about it, you know? So
right.
You got to get people talking and thinking, and I think that's so important when working with buyers, for sure.
Yeah. And then say a new buyer is buying in a new area. How do you recommend they research, like, the area or the neighborhood or... You know, what's a safe area? What's a good school? Is there websites or recommendations along those lines? Or is it more just the agents really know the area and they're like a good source of information?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both of that. Now, technically as agents, right, we are all supposed to be, you know, non-biased, right? We're equal housing opportunity, and we are, right? Some areas... We own homes in areas where people say, I would never live up there. Well, everybody is going to tell you something different as far as where to live. So for me, it's a little bit more about the feel. Do you feel safe in it? And then, sure, even if you jump on, like, Zillow or Redfin, they'll give you, like, a crime rating of the area if people are looking for that, right? You can go on to Megan's Law and look up stuff like that. I have people that are very into that. The Unified School District out here is one of the main school districts. You can type in addresses and find, see that house and then what schools serve that house.
Mm-hmm.
So, and me being in the business, right, I know some of these areas and there's little pockets that let you go to, like, in La Quinta, all three of the top schools out here. So if I'm working with a family, I let them know that. But then the family might say, well, our kids are actually going to Desert Christian Academy, so we're not too concerned with that, right? So, versus the public schools. So, again, I think it's just more talking about questions, but in today's world, with all the resources they have online, a lot of that information, I don't have necessarily one website that I would go to, but I would always recommend that they do their own due diligence on that, right? Because that's something that I don't necessarily, I'm more on what are your needs, what are your thoughts, not this is my thoughts, this is what I would do, this is what I would recommend.
That's a good
because,
point.
You know, because my thoughts and my ways aren't the same as your thoughts and your ways,
mm-hmm.
You know? And I learned that, too, the hard way, right? Where it's like I walk into a house and, oh, man, I would change this, I would change that, I would flip this around, you know, could you imagine this with this kind of paint? And the buyer's like, I love it the way it is. And I'm like, oh, okay, don't do that anymore, Justin, you know? So unless they ask me for advice,
okay,
just start asking them questions, right?
Yeah.
Just, what do you like about the house? What don't you like about the house? So if this was this way, would you like it more? Like, you know, if this kitchen was more opened up, is that what we're looking for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the questions we ask and how we ask them to really identify, hopefully, that, you know, they're a serious buyer, that they want to do something, and find them the right house.
Yeah. Is it hard researching when you know what your client wants, or is that easier? Once you know what they want, it's easier for you to go and select homes that fit their criteria?
Exactly. A little bit, right? I think if you can find out the basics for people, like, and that, I guess, brings us back to what are your top three, right? And I want you and your husband, or you and your wife, or you and your significant other to talk about, you know, what are your top three? And then if we can narrow that down, then, and again, price is going to put you in a different sort of bracket as far as what we're looking for, right? So once you narrow it down really by price, I need at least a three-bedroom, two-bath, Justin. You know, a two-bedroom, two-bath is fine. We definitely want a pool. Okay, is a community pool okay, or you want more of a private? No, Justin, we only want a private pool. Well, right there already, I've got a lot of information where, and I can get some homes. Now, sometimes you might get 50 or 60 homes that meet that criteria. So then I'm going to say, okay, let's narrow this down a little more. What size home do you live in now? Well, Justin, we're in about 1,600 square feet. And is that a comfortable size for you? Well, we'd like bigger, actually. We were talking about that. We'd like bigger. Great. So then I set my search up, and I opened it up to at least 1,800 square feet or bigger. Now my homes have gone down to this. So now I'm really showing not only that I'm listening to them, you know, and I'm finding more homes that meet their needs. And then what I would do is I would send them some, and I would say, hey, what do you think of some of these homes? And then hopefully they send me a message back saying, Justin, we really would love to see A, B, and C, not too fond of D or F. Then that starts to give me an idea of more what they're looking for, and I can really narrow in. If I can't find what they want, I start calling other agents that might have listings coming up in the areas, because sometimes it's area specific, so I'll call other agents and, do you have any listings coming up in these areas? And so it's really fun. I love the challenge of trying to match people to homes, right? Like, I love it when I show somebody a home that they didn't find on their own. Justin, we never saw this house on Zillow. How did you find out about this house? What about, you know, da-da-da? I love doing that, right? Because you wouldn't believe how many times I hold the house open and people come in. Well, we're doing all the work. We're doing all the searching. We send the agent the homes that we want to see, you know, and then they just open it up for us and say, what do you think? And then we walk out, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you tell people that are important things to look for or know about before selecting a real estate agent?
That's a great question, right? Because we all have to start somewhere. And I was kind of thinking about this as, you know, the people that gave me my first shot and did my first deal with me. Now, granted, when I started, like I said, it took a little longer to get into for me, but I think that's because I was more nervous to talk with people and felt like I wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in hindsight, looking at it now and being in the business now, I mean, I think you got to be comfortable with the person and know that the person is in it for your best interests and that they're asking questions, right? I think for me, that's a big thing is, are they asking questions? Are they finding out what you really want? You know, that is like so important to me because you could have a brand new agent that if they're asking the right questions, they're listening to what your wants and needs are, they're probably working under a broker. So once they do all the legwork, they find the house for you and you get into escrow on a house, like they're going to be asking their broker or other people in the office, hey, what would you do here? What would you do here? Or if you get in a tight situation, you're going to know that they do have the backing of someone else.
That's a good
point. So, yeah, so, you know, going with the confidence of that. But so for me, the main thing is working with someone that, one, you enjoy working with, because I think this should be an enjoyable situation. But also, it's you got to be careful between enjoy working with them because they're a friend or maybe even a family member. Sometimes that's a very hard situation to work with because there is more emotion involved or, you know, then it would ruin friendships. I hear a lot of stories of that. We had our friend sell our house and it had been the worst experience, right? And so some of that stuff is hard to do, but you got to enjoy working with them and you got to feel that they're all for your best interest. And if they're asking you enough questions and the right questions and you feel comfortable with them, then I would say by all means, you know, work with them. For me too, if they're selling homes and they're, if you can find somebody that's doing, but again, this comes back to, I think everybody deserves a shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have somebody that is selling at least maybe 10 to 15 homes a year, you know that they've got some experience under their belt, right? And that, you know, on nowadays too, you can look everybody up on Zillow or whatever, right? So that's why it's so important that we get our reviews on Zillow and things like that. Even though I'm not a Premier member, you can still look us up on Zillow. When I send all my emails out, I have a link to Zillow to show my reviews, right? Because I want people to know it's a third party that is doing this, right? I don't have controls over it. Like if it was my website and the reviews are on the website, I want you to know that, you know, Zillow put these reviews up and posted them and double-checked them. This wasn't me putting something in there about me.
Right.
So go to those third-party sites, I guess, if you want to find out more about the person. Read some of the reviews. I think a lot of times, too, like with anything, it's all about referrals, too, right? So who did you work with? Did you enjoy that experience? Did you like that experience? If you're new to the area and you don't have a referral, you could easily go on to Zillow or start going to open houses. And you are going to see it's so amazing that you'll find out you're just going to vibe differently with different people. And you're going to see all the different types of agents there are here in the desert. And then, you know, start working with someone you feel comfortable with. And then you could kind of look them up and get an idea. I'm a man of three quotes. Anything I do usually, or if I buy something or whatnot, like I'm getting three different quotes. Do that with your agent, right? I love it if I'm going into a listing appointment and I know that I'm, you know, they straight up tell me, right? We're interviewing a couple other agents. Excellent, right? You're doing your due diligence. I know you're serious about this, right? And that just goes back to me really wanting to work with people that want to work with us. And if not, that's okay.
Right.
There's plenty of stuff happening here in the desert. And my wife and I have been very blessed, so, yeah.
That's so nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have any general life advice that you would like to share?
Well, general life advice for me is, you know, you can probably tell, but I am a strong believer in Christian, right? Like, I believe that the Lord has his hands on everything, and that has really definitely changed my mindset and how I work with people as far as the confidence I have and the trust I have, just knowing that, right? But generally, I think ultimately, too, that brings us to our mindset. I think that's one of the best things that Fred always taught me starting is, what's your mindset? Where are you at, right? If I'm generally a happy-go-lucky guy, my email address is Justin at Happy Buffaloes, my webpage is Happy Homes in the Desert. Like, I want to be happy. I want to see other people happy. And so if you think and are grateful, right, like, what are you grateful for? What are you thankful for? That is going to propel you through your day and how other people see you. I just think about people that are maybe less fortunate or things like that, and I'm just, it breaks my heart, right? It makes me want to do something, but then brings me back to how grateful I am for what we have, right? I mean, just living here in the U.S. compared to other places. So your mindset, the idea of being grateful and thankful, I think just goes such a long way, right? If you talk about how what you don't have or what this other person has, right? Don't keep up with the Joneses. That's not what this life is about. You know, what can you do for the Joneses? You know, I'm not trying to keep up with them. It's what can I do for them? How can I make their life better? What can I, you know, just how can I make this world a better place? And if we took all the negativity out of this world, you know, and just about joy and thankfulness and gratefulness to this world, just what an amazing place it could be. You know, I think that's the big thing for me.
Thank you. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I agree 100%. What is the best way for people to reach you, Justin?
Well, I'm usually always answering my cell. So my cell is 760-898-1978 or my email, Justin@happybuffaloes.com.
Perfect.
I'm born and raised in Boulder, Colorado, so kind of a CU Buffalo fan and just always loved the domain name. So, but yeah, and then my wife is S-A-R-Y-E, so sometimes people will look up Sari Smith and they'll usually be able to find us because her name is so unique. But my cell is always the best. I'm usually always answering it because I love what I do. I don't usually shut it off, you know? Unless my wife tells me to, and we're at dinner with the kids. It's like, Justin, you got to turn it off. You got to turn it off. I'm like, but, you know, and so it is important to turn it off sometimes, right? Like, you know, I can get back to that call. It's important to leave a message. I will get back to you. You know, I pride myself on that. I think that's what a lot of people say, too, is, Justin, I like, you answer your phone, Justin. I appreciate that, right? It's like,
it's
so
big.
Important. I don't understand how other people aren't, you know?
Absolutely. So, I think that makes, that's going to make you stand out over so many people. And your personality and kindness and knowledge, so all of that is wonderful. Thank you for sharing about yourself.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Justin.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.